Fireball Friday, we are back, and joining us now, I'm hoping from afl.com.au, for Cobram Estate, premium Australian extra virgin olive oil. What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at you. You weren't ready to come back.
No, I just had to ring my son because Lucy's away, right? And I'm off at work early, so I've left the boys.
Oh, no.
To their own devices at home.
To
sort themselves out. So I was just ringing to make sure that their eldest brother, who has only got his P's this week, had just got his brothers to school on time. Oh. And then because I can't hear anything here, Geordie just said to me, "We're back." So I had to quickly hang up the phone. So sorry to the kids who I was on the phone to, and welcome back.
I can decipher that for you, everyone. He's rang Ricky again to see if that money's coming through today.
Not true. All right, someone give me the... Yes, he's here. Now, you better not swear. Have we got you there, Callum Toomey?
You've got me, Kane Corns. David
Great.
King, how are you?
Going well.
Good. We've got no delay here, so I trust you not to say anything untoward this morning. Hey, you've had a big week. Gettable's doing big things on afl.com.au. You can watch that every Wednesday, and you can also read your stuff inside trading on afl.com.au. Errol Goulden, take us through the ins and outs of this deal that he signed at Sydney.
Well, this one's been in the making for a little bit, but clearly there's been big interest from rivals. And we reported about a month ago that Adelaide and Fremantle were among the clubs who had registered their interest and were among those who had made plays for him. He's been keen to stay for a little bit, and it has sped up over the past couple of weeks. He had options everywhere, options to go, but options also to stay on different years. So he could have done 2 years. That was part of the decision-making. He could have done three through to Tasmania time. He's done four through to free agency. He's spoken about a 10-year offer from rivals, and that's been there and spoken about as well. But he also had the option to do 10 years in Sydney. Like, basically, it was name your own price, name your own years, and write your own check. In the end, he's backed himself to get to free agency and then do his mega deal after that. But he's going to be paid really, really well over the next 4 years, as he should. He's been their highest priority re-signing. They've now done Rowbottom and Goulden. Logan McDonald, Ollie Florin, and Will Hayward still to go up their top five for this year. But good one to tick off early in the year.
What do you reckon he would be getting in the modern landscape now with the salary cap exploding? What sort of dollars would Errol be earning?
I think he'd be touching the seven figures at this point, across the deal. And you look at TPP rises that are always usually by managers built into these contract talks. This is going to take him through to the next CBA as well. So I think it's pretty clear that he's in the best 30 players in the competition. We saw about 20 millionaires last year. By the end of this deal for Errol Goulden, there'll probably be about 50 to 60 millionaires across the competition. Clearly, he's going to be in that bracket. So, yeah, he's touching that figure now.
Cal, what would a 10-year deal have looked like? What sort of numbers would we have been talking?
I think we would have been talking, Kingy, 12, 13 across the duration in terms of millions.
And what will he get breaking it up into two lots of five or a four and a six?
Well, as we always say, there's a stay and a go price, and people always leave money on the table to stay. But I think he'll manage to make that up pretty well. I mean, what's the new world looking like? I think we're all saying that and seeing and speaking to clubs around this as well, we're all seeing this new money come into the competition where even players who aren't A-listers are getting paid huge, huge money and offered huge money to move because it's a big chip for clubs to go and grab someone. So I think we're going to have to get used to this around the AFL industry, and there's an adjustment phase coming around how much players are being paid and not just the very best. Errol is one of the very best, so it's pretty easy to justify it with him. But yeah, I think that's something that he would have had to make up his own mind on. But he's backing himself to be better at 25 than he is right now as well. So he's a pretty quality player.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a couple of deep breaths with some of the wages that are getting thrown around for lesser lights, Cal. Not great players like Errol Goulden, you know, who's finishing top five in Brownlow medals. But
I worry for you.
Yeah, I know. I'm nervous. I'm just going to have to change my mindset in terms of, okay, this is now what the salary cap is, and if someone wants to pay Will Hayward $850, then I'm probably just going to have to cop it. What does it say about Adelaide? So I think it was Channel 9 that reported that the 10-year offer came from them. They've had sort of a nibble at Oliver. They had a real crack at Petty, and they had a serious go at Errol. So they're being quite aggressive, aren't they?
They got cap space. They got cap space, and they've hit the draft obviously pretty hard over a period of time now. So they're in the market. They were in the market last year for Harrison Petty, offered him a long-term deal at really good money as well. This year, he's a free agent, so he's a year out from free agency, so a year close to being on the open market, but still contracted to Melbourne, so a deal would have to be done there. Look, I think they're probably at the point where, because of the draft over recent years, they probably see that there's options there from a free agency and trade point of view. So they have to be active, and you have to be active. The battle is for all clubs outside the top eight and who've been outside the top eight for a number of years, how do you get players across? That's a challenge across the competition because players generally want to see or join clubs that they feel like, you know, success is coming for a couple of years. I mean, you look at when Haywood's got a decision to make this year, if you're leaving the Swans, you're probably going to one of the clubs that are in the contention over the next 12 to 24 months. So that's always a battle for clubs who have been in the rebuild phase and are now coming out of it.
Cal, quick yes or no. You're in charge of rebuilding the Western Bulldogs into their next premiership tilt. Do you keep English or allow him to leave?
I've offered him 5 years. I think it's important to keep good players. So, yes.
Bailey Smith?
If he wants to stay,
So that's keeping them both?
If he wants to stay, I mean, Smith's got a two-year offer there from the Dogs as well. They're not yes or no's for me in terms of the trade option because I don't know what I'm being offered for Bailey Smith. I mean, everyone's, you know, you tell me what Hawthorn's putting on the table or Collingwood's putting on the table and Geelong's putting on the table and maybe I'll have a better informed decision on yes or no.
Get a first-round pick for both.
Well, Hawthorn's first-round pick's different to Collingwood's first-round pick.
Hawthorn's first-round pick. Gee, you're ducking and diving. This is far from a no.
This is Horrible yes. Friday. Cal. Come on, mate. We just call a spade a spade here.
Lucky we got no delay here. I'd be swearing at you, Cal.
Well, what I'm saying is, Kingy, there is and recruiters say this all the time, and it's not an excuse or anything like that, but there is a big difference between this first-round pick and this first-round pick. Now, draft this year is looking like a strong one, so that's an option for clubs to go, okay, here's three. The Bulldogs don't have one at the moment. They obviously traded last year to get up and get Sanders. But, I'd like to see what the actual pick turned out before I'm making a call on that.
Would you trade Caleb Daniel? What would you get?
We've got 2 years to go on a contract, so they hold the whip hand there. But if he's not playing, then you know, that's money sitting in the VFL, isn't it? So I'd give the Daniel and Lob one another 6 weeks to see where they actually fit in because, you know, that team changes all the time. I don't know about that one yet. And what clubs would actually be willing to offer if it's more just take the money off your hands? Because if clubs are taking them full money, then they're not going to offer the big kick.
Heard you speak about the first-round draft picks from last year, sort of the top 10, and now that they've signed three-year contracts, what that's done to clubs trying to extend them. Can you just explain that landscape for us?
Yeah, so they're only able to, the top 20 picks in the draft now under the new CBA can only re-sign past round six of their debut season, so that's obviously coming next week. I don't think we're going to see too much movement on that, which is kind of an unintended consequence of this new rule, because in the past, you would have seen a lot of them by now have signed two-year extensions through to the end of their fourth year. Now I think clubs, or probably more player managers, are waiting and saying, well, he's signed till the end of his third. Let's wait and see and see if by the time his next contract rolls about, he's actually worth a lot more than he would have been had he been signing 2 months ago. Like Harry Sheasel re-signed after round one of his debut season. Now, some would say that's too early, but they probably got a really good rate at that. And then he's obviously re-signed again this year through to 2030. So I don't think we're going to see too much movement on any of those deals. The only two that I could probably see doing a really short-term extension would be Riley Sanders and Colby McKercher. They're currently signed through to 2026. If they did a one-year extension on that and took them through to the end of their fourth year, that's 2027, when the Devils deadline is coming in, and then that puts them in a position to obviously take an option or wait and see what it looks like. But I think, the catch-up money that managers are going to be looking for after year three for what they didn't get in their third season will be an interesting facet to this, because some managers and players might just say, okay, give us a five-year deal at $800,000 to get us through to free agency, and that's our big signing early on.
The list at Essendon, Cal, where should it finish this year? What ladder position should it be finishing? Is it talented enough to finish position 7, 8, 9? Is it a 10 or 11 list? Is it lower than that? Where do you think this list, all things being even, injury-wise, where should it be finishing?
It's a great question because they've got more top 10 picks, I think, than any club in the competition when you include the players who they've brought in through trade over the years. I still think they don't have the depth of the contenders, and that's who I would say the top six or seven clubs are. And that shows up whenever they have injuries. And that showed up at the end of last year when Ridley, Draper, Stringer were injured. And it's showing up again this year when clearly they've had a soft tissue plague already in the first month of this season. So I think when fit, they're a top eight team, and they've shown that on occasion. But I think when they have injuries, they don't have the quality depth to match it with the other clubs. So, and they're hit again with injuries. So I think probably the reality now after this start to the season. And I know, Kane, you're not sold on the Jordan Ridley star factor. To me, he's a top three player there, and he's basically going to miss a season of footy through soft tissue injuries at the end of last season and the first half of this year. They haven't been able to cover that. So, lucky
they signed him for an extra 3 years when there was no need to sign him for an extra 3 years. But, mate, we could debate that another time. Hey, appreciate you joining us this morning. Always appreciate it.
All good. See you guys.
Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil was grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria. That's Cobram Estate. We'll be back to speak to Sammy Edmund next.